Chapter 2. The Nursery. After the visit, Mr. Foster was left in the decanting room. The director and his students got into the nearest lift and were taken up to the fifth floor. Infant nurseries, conditioning, announced the notice board. The director opened a door. They were in a large room which was very bright and sunny. Six nurses were putting big bowls of roses in a long row across the floor. The nurses stood to attention as the director came in.
"Put out the books," he said.
In silence, the nurses put brightly coloured, attractive books between the rose bowls.
"Now bring in the children,"
the director ordered. The nurses went quickly out of the room and returned in a minute or two, each with a Bokanovsky group of 8-month-old babies, all exactly alike. Since they were low-caste deltas, all of them were dressed in their caste colour, khaki.
"Put them down on the floor," said the director.
The babies were put on the floor.
"Now turn them so that they can see the flowers and books," the director continued.
The babies were turned and immediately began to crawl towards the books, making happy, excited sounds. The director smiled.
"Excellent," he said.
The fastest babies were already at the flowers and the books. Their small hands touched the flowers and the brightly coloured pages. The director waited until all the babies were happily busy. Then he lifted his hand and gave a signal. The head nurse pressed a button. There was a violent explosion and loud noises of sirens and alarms. The babies began to scream in terror. The director shouted,
"And now we'll reinforce the lesson with a small electric shock."
He lifted his hand again, and the head nurse pressed a second button. The babies screamed louder, and their little arms and legs made sudden, strange movements.
"That's enough," the director said.
The explosions ceased. The alarms and sirens stopped. The babies' bodies relaxed, and their screaming stopped.
"Offer them the flowers and books again," the director said.
The nurses obeyed, but the babies moved away in horror when they saw the roses and the brightly coloured pages.
"Observe," said the director triumphantly. "Books and loud noises, flowers and electric shock. These are already connected in these babies' minds. After the same lesson has been repeated 200 times, the connection will be permanent. They'll grow up hating books and flowers and will hate them all their lives."
"I can understand why you can't have deltas wasting the community's time with books," said one of the students. "They might read something which could undo parts of their conditioning. But why do we have to make it impossible for deltas to like flowers?"
Patiently, the director explained.
"Not so very long ago, gammas, deltas, even epsilons were conditioned to like flowers and nature. The idea was to make them want to go out into the country at every possible opportunity. That would make them spend money on transport and so help the economy."
"And didn't they spend money on transport?" the student asked.
"They did, but they didn't spend it on anything else," replied the director. "People can enjoy nature without buying a single thing. So it was decided to abolish the love of nature, at least among the lower classes. We conditioned the people to love sports that need complicated equipment. That way, they contribute to the economy."
There was a silence. Then the director said,
"Once upon a time, while our Ford was still on Earth, there was a little boy called Rubin Rabinovich. Reuben was the child of Polish-speaking parents. You know what Polish is, I suppose.
A dead language, like French and German, one of the students answered.
And do you know what parent is?
The director asked. There was an embarrassed silence. Several of the boys' faces became red. At last, one had the courage to raise his hand.
Human beings used to have...
He hesitated, and his face became red.
Babies used to be born,
he finished.
In brief, the director concluded, human beings used to be born to mothers. Each human being used to have parents, a father and a mother.
The boys looked away, embarrassed.
You must remember that in those days,
the director said,
children were brought up by their fathers and mothers and not in state conditioning centres.
The director returned to little Reuben.
One night, he explained, Reuben's father and mother left the radio playing in Reuben's room. While the child was asleep, there was a program in English on the radio. The next morning, Reuben repeated word for word what he had heard in his sleep. His parents couldn't understand a word he was saying. Imagining that their child had suddenly gone mad, they sent for a doctor, who fortunately understood English. He recognised the radio programme from the night before and realised the significance of what had happened. Children could listen to lessons and learn in their sleep. This was how the principle of sleep teaching was first discovered.
The director began walking towards the lift.
The early experimenters, the director continued, were not successful. Researchers thought that sleep teaching could be used to teach facts and science. They failed and the experiments were stopped. And it took them centuries more to realise that sleep teaching is ideal for moral education.
The students followed him into the lift, still trying to write down every word.
Silence! A loudspeaker said quietly as they got out at the 14th floor.
The students, and even the director himself, automatically walked on tiptoe. They came to a door which the director opened and went into a dark dormitory. 80 small beds stood in a row against the wall. A nurse stood to attention in front of the director.
"What's the lesson this afternoon?"
he asked.
"We had elementary sex for the first 40 minutes," answered the nurse. "Now it's elementary class consciousness."
The director walked slowly down the long line of beds in which 80 little boys and girls were sleeping. A slight noise could be heard under every pillow. The director stopped at one of the beds and listened attentively. Then he walked up to a loudspeaker on the wall and pressed a button. The students now heard the voice coming out of the loudspeaker.
Alpha children wear grey. They work much harder than we do because they're so clever. I'm really glad I'm a beta because I don't work so hard. Gammas are stupid. They all wear green, and deltas wear khaki. I don't want to play with delta children. Epsilons are even worse. They're too stupid to be able to read or write. Besides, they wear black, which is such a horrible colour. I'm so happy I'm a beta.
The director pressed the button. The loudspeaker was silent, but beneath the 80 pillows, the voice quietly continued the lesson.
They'll have that repeated 40 or 50 times more before they wake. Then again on Thursday and again on Saturday, explained the director. 3 times a week for 30 months. They don't know they're hearing it, so they don't know where the lesson came from. It's just there, in the children's minds, as if it was their own belief. But these are all suggestions from the state. The director banged the nearest table enthusiastically. A noise made him turn around. Oh, Ford, he said angrily. I've woken the children.